Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Now, the greatest radio shows of all time.
Suspense.
The Shadow Node.
Washington calling David Harding, counter-spy.
Classic Radio Theater.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Dragnet. Gunsmoke.
The Lone Ranger.
Now, step back into our time machine with your host, Wyatt Cox.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We go back 75 years, July 28, 1947, for a summer program from the Mutual Broadcasting System. Did Justice Triumph and the Marriage Bureau Murders? And we thank you for tuning in. On this Thursday, this is the 28th day of July, 209th day of the year, 156 days remaining. 14th Amendment of the Constitution, which established the citizenship of African Americans and guaranteed due process of law, was ratified on this date in 1868. Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia in 1914, precipitating the start of World War I. Herbert Hoover ordered Douglas MacArthur to evict the bonus marchers from their camps in 1932. And on the foggy morning of Saturday, July 28, 1945, Lieutenant Colonel William Smith, piloting a U.S. Army B-25 bomber through New York City, when he crashed into the Empire State Building.
Two girls at work in the 73rd floor were Miss Edith Iverson of 857 Fairmount Avenue, St. Paul, Minnesota, and Gene Fagan of 3 East Bank Street, Chicago. They were at work in the Empire State offices of the North Central Broadcasting System. And they are now at the Mutual Newsroom microphone here in New York to tell you in their own words what happened. Now, Miss Fagan, tell us what happened when you first heard the crash.
When we first heard the crash, we sat at our desks and looked at each other. We didn't know what it was lightning because we've heard so much publicity lately on lightning striking the Empire State Building. But we opened our office door, and in the hall, it was so covered with smoke we couldn't see, and the elevator shafts were flaming with smoke.
And tell us, what was your reaction, Miss Iverson?
Well, I too thought it was lightning. We found the service stairs finally and began to walk down. There were only two other girls on the floor, but many people from other floors. There must have been at least 30 or 40, and they were all walking down too.
14 people died in the crash. President Johnson ordered another 50,000 American soldiers into the Vietnam War on this date in 1965. The call-ups brought the total force up to 125,000. The 23rd Olympics opened in Los Angeles on this date in 1984, minus 14 Eastern Bloc nations who boycotted the Games because of the U.S. boycott of the 1980 Moscow Games due to the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan.
Just like 1980, our point out and quite a few countries supporting us reduced the 1980 Games to nothing more than a regional competition. It's going to be somewhat the same way. It will not be an Olympics in the true sense of the word.
Olympic spokesman and former Olympian Al Orter. 9 Pennsylvania coal miners rescued on this date in 2002 after 77 hours of being trapped in a mine shaft. And in 2009, the Senate Judiciary Committee approved Sonia Sotomayor to be the first Hispanic justice on the Supreme Court. And among those passing away on this date in history, Johann Sebastian Bach, another composer, the Italian Antonio Vivaldi, also French poet Cyrano de Bergerac, actress Marie Dressler, actor Sam Edwards, pro wrestler Carl Gotch, and actress-singer Eileen Brennan. Among birthdays on this date include author Beatrix Potter, entertainer Rudy Valley, inventor Earl Tupper, you know, Tupperware. Also, composer Carmen Dragon, First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, and for the Mary Tyler Moore Show and Everybody Loves Raymond, Georgia Engel. The creator of Garfield, Jim Davis, turns 77 today. The man who sang about sunshine, Jonathan Edwards, 76. From All in the Family, Sally Struthers, 75. From Full House, Lori Loughlin, 58 years of age today. And from Saved by the Bells and Showgirls, Elizabeth Berkley is 48. Those some of the people celebrating the 28th day of July as their birthday. If this happens to be your birthday...
Hi, we're the Four Freshmen, and we just want to say...
Happy birthday to you!
From 75 years ago, July 28, 1947, did Justice triumph. That's coming up next year on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox on your favorite radio station.
You ever make a change and then think, why didn't I do this years ago? Well, that's how people feel about switching to MediShare for their health care. Especially now, with inflation the way it is, people are very happy with the savings. Most families save about $500 a month when they switch. It's a huge help when prices are going up so fast in so many other areas. And MediShare's customer satisfaction rate is double that of health insurance. It's just a different experience, and people really like that. MediShare is an alternative to health insurance. It's a community of Christians who share each other's health care bills, and it's been going strong for over 25 years. It really is the gold standard, the most trusted name in health care sharing. Find out why people love it. Find out why they rave about the customer service, and find out how good it feels to save some money right now. They're super easy to talk to. Here's the number, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. Bible, 833-34-BIBLE.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, roll and go anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the Buy One, Get One Extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
Are you in bad pain? You know what I mean. Your knees hurt. Your shoulder hurts. Your elbow and back are constantly killing you. And I'm sure you've tried every pain pill or cream available at the drugstore. Am I right? Well, here's something you haven't tried. Pain Magic. Pain Magic is not available at any drugstore. The only place you can get it is by calling the special toll-free number I'm about to give you. And to make things even better, call right now and find out about our buy one, get one free offer. We're so confident it'll work for you that we offer a free bottle with your purchase. No prescription required. Call now to learn how you can get Pain Magic and get rid of your pain. Remember, your results may vary. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. That's 800-492-8164.
Now on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, an episode of the Mutual Summer Series, Did Justice Triumph? This episode goes back 75 years to July 28, 1947.
Did Justice Triumph? Police Headquarters, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Named Arthur Drake.
Age, 40 years.
Cause of death, blows of claw hammer.
Classification, murder.
Investigation proceeding.
The Mutual Broadcasting System presents another thrilling case from the files of true justice stories, followed by millions of readers each week in the New York Sunday News and its syndicates. Tonight's case, the Marriage Bureau Murder. Tonight's true case history of crime begins on a hot, sultry morning in June 1944. A large interstate truck rumbles along the dry roads of Oklahoma. Lonely roads, for it's early in the morning. The truck driver yawns, turns to his assistant.
Hey, Ed, wake up.
to take over?
You sure a clock watcher, Bill, if I ever saw one.
Anyone's a clock watcher if he's been driving all night.
Okay, stop the truck. We'll change seats.
I'll sure be glad when we get to Texas.
Me too.
I got a date with the cutest little babe I ever saw down in San Antonio.
Hope she's got a friend.
I think I can fix it up.
Well.
Hey, Ed, look at that.
What? Where?
Over there, side of the road.
Well, looks like a woman.
Come on.
There's a woman.
Was.
Horrible. What do we do?
We gotta tell the cops about this right away.
Bill, where are we?
Not far from Muskogee. I saw a farmhouse back a ways. We'll phone from there.
Bill?
Yeah.
She's been murdered.
There's the body, Sheriff. From the side of the road.
Just where that truck driver said it was.
He wasn't kidding when he said she had been murdered.
Well, let's get to work.
Yeah, that's what this is going to be.
You get the camera ready while I take a look at this corpse.
Okay, Sheriff.
Looks as if she's been struck on the head with a hammer. Claw hammer. Let's see. One, two, three, two. I can count 10 hammer marks.
Boy, whoever did this sure did a job on her.
She apparently raised her left arm to shield her head from the first blow.
Yeah, the left sleeve of her coat's torn.
And the left arm is badly bruised.
How old would you say she was, Sheriff?
Oh, about 40, about 5 feet, 120 pounds. We got a complete and accurate description from the medical examiner.
Married? If that wedding ring means anything.
We'll find out. Ready for that picture?
Yeah, all set.
Okay, get it from all angles.
Right.
I noticed some tire marks over here just off the road.
Yeah. There's footprints here near the body.
Yeah, they'll not help us much, I'm afraid. Those truckmen were here, too, remember?
Now, I better measure them just in case.
Yeah, we'll come out later and get a moulage of these tire prints. Leave Casper to watch things here till the medical examiner arrives.
Now, I got the picture, Sheriff.
All right, Warren. We better get back to town. We've got plenty of work ahead of us.
I guess there's nothing more we can accomplish here. So, well, what next?
The first thing we've got to do is identify this woman.
Up to yet.
Well, you're too impatient, Warren. If you're going to hold down the job of deputy sheriff around here, you've got to learn to acquire one of the prime qualities of a police officer. Perseverance. Dogged perseverance. Combined with patience.
But I want to get my hands on the maniac who did it.
I know, Warren, I know. Very possibly you will if you remember what I've just said. Now, what have you got, huh?
Our telephone reports have been coming in all day, Sheriff. The radio and the press has sure spread this thing around.
Cooperating beautifully.
Well, I've arranged a sort of digest of what's come in, and well, I've tried to put it in chronological order.
Go ahead.
John Holbrook, owner of Good Rest Tourist Camp south of Kansas City, reported a man and a woman rented a cabin from him last night and left early this morning. It wasn't too clear as to description.
Well, that's not much. Go ahead.
A service station at Fort Scott, Kansas, reported a man and a woman in a 1941 Ford coupe stopping there for gas at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
A Columbus, Kansas cafe reports a man and a woman in a similar Ford coupe stopping there for breakfast at 7 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
And get this, Sheriff. At 7:30 a.m., a gray Ford coupe was seen racing through Vinita at about 60 miles an hour. A man and a woman were in it.
So what?
Well, just this. Just about 8 o'clock this morning, the same car was seen going through Vinita at about 60, but this time in the opposite direction, north, and only a man was in the car.
Well, now, that sounds as if it might lead us somewhere. We'll backtrack on all these reports, Warren.
The only difficulty, Sheriff, is that no one I talked to could be positive about checking with a description of the victim, and no one could give me an accurate description of the man.
How about the license number?
No dice.
All right, Warren, we let the men sift these reports because I think you and I have to travel in a different direction.
Where?
I don't know. But I do know that we've got to concentrate on this pair of blue shoes. See anything unusual about them?
Oh, only that they're mighty small. Hey, she had the smallest feet I've ever seen. But
don't you realize that the only label we found on anything the woman wore is on this pair of shoes?
Yes, but Richard's shoe shop, wherever it is, might have sold 1,000 pair of shoes like this.
But you yourself have just remarked that these shoes are unusually small. Now, this is the only thing remotely tangible that we have to work on. We're going hunting for Richard's shoe shop.
Okay, Sheriff. But that might take us on a tour of the whole United States.
To locate a local shoe shop with nothing more than a mere label is a difficult task in a nation as large as the United States. And this fact, Sheriff Crawford and Deputy Warren soon learn. But with dogged determination, the two Oklahoma police officers keep checking. They drive hundreds of miles following false clues. They visit a shoe manufacturer's convention, which it so happens is in session in Oklahoma City. No one has ever heard of Richard's Shoe Shop. More checking, more disappointments. The search now looks hopeless. Then one day, just 10 days after the woman's body had been found, Deputy Warren talks with a shoe clerk in Memphis, Tennessee. The clerk says the shoes look as if they'd been manufactured by a shoe company in his own hometown, Indianapolis. Warren visits the shoe company. Do they have a customer whose trademark is Richard's Shoe Shop? The manager looks in his records. Yes. Yes, he has such a customer. It's a store located in Peoria, Illinois. Immediately, Sheriff Crawford and Deputy Warren journey to Peoria. Talk to the owner of Richard's Shoe Shop.
We're police officers, Mr. Richard, from Oklahoma.
Yes, what could I do for you?
Unwrap those shoes, Warren.
Right, Sheriff.
Forgive me, gentlemen, but may I ask what this is all about?
We're returning a pair of ladies' shoes, Mr. Richard, which we hope were purchased in your store.
Oh, well, let me see them.
Here you are.
Did those shoes come from your shop, Mr. Richard?
Well, yes. Yes, they did.
Could you possibly give us the name of the customer?
Well, sir, I don't know whether I can or not. You see...
You're afraid of getting someone into trouble?
Well, you might call it that. Of course, I don't want to seem uncooperative, but...
Warren, got that picture handy you took of the body?
Oh, here. Was this your customer, Mr. Richard?
What? That's Dorothy Maxwell. She's dead?
Yes, Mr. Richard, she's dead. That's why we're here.
Oh, I see.
And did you sell her these shoes?
Yes, I did.
How do you know?
Well, because of the size and because of the extra high heels.
The size, huh?
Yes. She was one of my regular customers. She wore a size 3 AAA. We had a terribly difficult time fitting her. Oh, I can't believe she's dead.
Murdered, Mr. Richard. That's why we're asking you to give us her address. You have it?
Yes, of course I have. You see, she had an account with us.
We'd like that address, Mr. Richard.
Certainly, sir. Just a minute. Oh, I can't believe...
Our first big break, Sherry.
I told you, Warren, that patience was a necessity in our work. Patience and perseverance. But don't get so enthusiastic. We're just beginning.
Here you are, gentlemen. Here's the address on this slip of paper. Now, that's her mother's house out on High Street. I'll tell you how to get there.
She's home, Sheriff.
Take it easy, Warren. If she isn't, we'll come back.
That fellow Richard's quite a character.
Yes, gentlemen?
You're Mrs. Maxwell?
That's exactly who I am. I don't want to buy anything today.
Just a moment, Mrs. Maxwell.
Well, we're not selling anything.
Well, then why are you knocking on my door?
We've come to talk about your daughter, Dorothy.
My daughter? She's not here.
We know, Mrs. Maxwell.
How do you know? Who are you, men?
We're police from Oklahoma.
Way up here from Oklahoma? That's where my daughter is. I had a letter
from... Yes, Mrs. Maxwell, we know.
You know I had a letter?
No, we know she's in Oklahoma.
But is anything wrong?
Mrs. Maxwell, your daughter is dead.
She's fainted.
You got her, Warren?
Yeah, I got her.
All right, let's get her inside. Here, I'll give you a hand.
In the living room here?
Yes. All right. Put her on the sofa.
Okay, Sheriff. Here.
That's right.
There she is.
All right.
Oh, I must have fainted.
And you did, Mrs. Maxwell. Feeling better?
If I could have my smelling salts out in the kitchen.
I'll get them.
They're on the shelf over the sink.
I'll be right back.
I'm sorry we had to startle you the way we did, Mrs. Maxwell, but it was necessary for you to know the truth so that you'd give us the information we need to catch your daughter's murderer.
Did you say Murderer?
Mrs. Maxwell, we're going to make it as easy for you as we can. I know very well how you must feel hearing that word. I also know you're going to do all in your power to help us apprehend whoever is responsible.
But how do you know? How do you know she was murdered?
Because we found her body by the side of a road. And, well, I'd rather not say any more.
I can't believe it. I just can't.
Here you are, Miss Maxwell, the smelling salt.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, this picture, Mrs. Maxwell.
No, Warren.
What picture?
It's a photograph of your daughter, Dorothy, as we found her. I'd rather you didn't see it.
I'd rather not.
These shoes, Mrs. Maxwell, were they your daughter's shoes?
Yes. How did this happen?
That's what we want you to tell us, Mrs. Maxwell.
Me? Tell you? I don't know.
We want you to tell us just why your daughter left home, where she went, and most particularly, who she went with.
You see, we want to get the man who did this, Miss Maxwell, and we want your help.
The man who killed my daughter. I'll do everything I can to help you.
Good. Now, let's start at the beginning. First, when did Dorothy leave home?
Well, when she got that letter from Mr. Drake through the Matrimonial Bureau.
Mr. Drake?
Matrimonial Bureau?
Yes. See, Dorothy hadn't had much luck with marriage. He started off when she was very young, had three husbands right in succession.
Mm-hmm.
None of her marriages worked out very well, so she decided to try this till death do us part matrimonial bureau in Chicago. It's a sort of correspondence club.
And she corresponded with this Mr. Drake?
That's right. He was listed as a very rich man from East Texas. Oil business, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he was rich. Well, after a few letters and an exchange of photographs, David proposed marriage to Dorothy, and she accepted. She sold some property she had here, put the money in a money belt, and left for St. Louis to meet David and marry him.
Money belt?
Yes. Dorothy was always afraid of being robbed.
How much money did she take in her money belt, Mrs. Maxwell?
Just a little more than $3,000. She called it her dowry. Dorothy was always so romantic.
I suppose she had some jewelry.
Oh, yes. Presents from her former husband, you see. She had one necklace that her last husband sent her from Africa. His pure gold.
Will you please describe it?
Well, I always called it the Casablanca necklace because that's where it came from. As I say, it was pure gold made by the Arabs.
I see.
Beautiful. I always kind of hoped she'd give it to me.
Well, now, let's get on with the story, Mrs. Maxwell. You said your daughter left Peoria for St. Louis to marry David Drake.
Yes. Uh-huh. She married him in St. Louis. And they started on a motor trip to his estate in Texas. They had a fine trip.
She wrote to you, I suppose.
Oh, almost every day. She was so happy. They stopped in tourist camp.
You remember where?
Well, I have the letters upstairs. I remember the last one I had was from a tourist camp near Kansas City. They were on their way south then.
That checks, sir.
Yes, Warren. Mrs. Maxwell, I'm going to ask you to let us see those letters.
All right.
And that photograph on the mantle, have you one like it that you could let us have?
Yes, I believe I do.
Fine, fine.
From July 28, 1947, the Mutual Summer Series did Justice Triumph and the Marriage Bureau Murders. Thank you so much for tuning in to Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox here on your favorite station. We'll have the news from 75 years ago today and the conclusion of this show.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. The U.S. economy grew faster than expected in the second quarter as labor market resilience underpinned consumer spending, while businesses boosted investment in equipment, potentially keeping a much-feared recession at bay. GDP increased at a 2.4% annualized rate last quarter, the Commerce Department said in their advance estimate of second quarter GDP numbers on Thursday. President Biden is laying out his plan to combat extreme heat conditions gripping the country. The president announces that he wants Acting Labor Secretary Julie Sue to issue a heat hazard alert.
It clarifies that workers have a federal heat-related protections. We should be protecting workers from hazardous conditions, and we will. And those states where they do not, I'm going to be calling them out.
Tim Berg, USA News.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that. But I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox here on your favorite station. We're listening to an episode of Did Justice Triumph? The Marriage Bureau Murders, as it was originally broadcast on Mutual Monday, July 28, 1947. In the newspapers of that Monday 75 years ago, these were some of the headlines. Only half the legislation Secretary of State Marshall recommended to Congress as urgent was passed in the session which closed yesterday. However, John M. Hightower, writing for Associated Press, reports the bills which were approved included almost all bearing upon the American conflict with Russia, chief among them authority and money for the $400 million Greek-Turkish program. Administration officials said the record was by no means a bad one for foreign policy cooperation between the Democratic administration and the Republican-led Congress. Marshall sent to Chairman Vandenberg, the Republican of Michigan, of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on January 29th, a list of 10 matters for congressional action, which he called urgent items of priority. He attached an additional list of 17 items for this session of Congress. 13 of the latter failed of passage. Congressman Jacob Javits, the Republican of New York, declared yesterday the housing shortage is the nation's number one problem and that, if necessary, war emergency methods are justified in solving it. This is sharp direct contrast to the stand taken by Senator Capehart, the Republican of Indiana, who contends that housing conditions are improving from day to day and that there is no need for drastic action. Senator Ferguson, the Republican of Michigan, delving into the wartime activities of Howard Hughes and Elliot Roosevelt, pictured the son of the late president with the power to ram a scout plane contract for Hughes down someone's throat, it was disclosed yesterday. But this contention of the senator, who heads a war investigating subcommittee, was disputed by a witness, John Meyer, a publicity man who was employed by Hughes. Hughes, the Hollywood millionaire, had previously denied that Roosevelt helped him, and Henry J. Kaiser obtained the original contract for construction of an enormous cargo flying boat. To this, Meyer added the assertion in testimony taken June 3rd behind closed doors that while continuation of the subsequent photo reconnaissance scouting plane contract held by Hughes alone probably depended on Roosevelt's recommendation, quoting, he couldn't force it down any throats. Well, the 80th Congress closed its first session yesterday in the heat of an angry Senate political battle over President Truman's nominations that left six of them unconfirmed. Plans for the Saturday adjournment flew out the window, and Congress worked on Sunday for the first time in the memory of veteran Capitol officials. It was 3:49 a.m., and the Senate had been sitting more than 16 hours when the final gavel fell. The House had gone home soon after midnight. Its members, too, shouted partisan charges and countercharges at each other, principally on the economy issue. Congressman Tabor, the Republican of New York, put the savings engineered by the GOP-controlled Congress at almost $5 billion. Congressman Sam Rayburn, the Democrat of Texas, said they came to $1 billion, and other Republicans and Democrats mentioned varying sums in between. An 81-year-old couple who drove to Minneapolis, Minnesota from Seattle, Washington in a red-wheeled 1921 Model T Ford remarried yesterday at their 56th wedding anniversary party. More than 400 relatives and friends from the West and Midwest at a park where spry, smiling Mr. and Mrs. John F. Heichler chugged up in their beloved Tin Lizzie. They insisted the car, the most valued part of the house, he parked nearby during the simple wedding ceremony. And those some of the day's top news stories is reported in the newspapers of Monday, July 28, 1947, on your radio, Did Justice Triumph, which continues now on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
And do you by any chance have Mr. Drake's Texas address?
Well, I don't believe he ever told Arthur just where he was located in Texas, but I can get you his St. Louis address. He had an apartment there. I have it. Because that's the only address Dorothy could give me when she left home.
Good. We'll see what we can find in Mr. Drake's apartment with the help of the St. Louis police.
You think he killed my daughter?
We don't know, Mrs. Maxwell. You see, we can't afford to reach conclusions until we have proof, evidence. The kind of evidence we hope to get in St. Louis. Give us a hand, Sergeant.
Glad to cooperate, Deputy Warren. As soon as I got your wire, I arranged for a search warrant for this apartment. The superintendent gave me the key.
I better ring first, Sergeant.
Yes, you're right, Sheriff. The super said Drake was away, but you never can tell.
Maybe he's in there. He's either asleep and doesn't intend to answer the door.
Might as well open up, Sergeant.
Right.
Now, careful, everybody.
No one here, Sheriff.
I'll look in the bedroom, in the bath.
Thanks, Sergeant.
Sheriff, look here on the desk. This picture.
A man and a woman.
Sturgis and Mildred. In memory of our wonderful honeymoon.
Looks like Mr. Drake had another wife.
But I thought his name was David.
He probably had several names. Let's see that letter on the desk.
Addressed to Mr. Sturgis Jones.
We're getting somewhere, Warren. A bill from the Till Death Do Us Part Matrimonial Bureau for an introduction to Miss Dorothy Maxwell. Things are beginning to gel. He doubtless had a deal with this bureau to use two names.
No one in there, Sheriff. But I did find this photo in the bedroom.
Thanks, Sergeant. Well, that's the man in the other picture, Sturgis.
Yes, I think we can use this.
Warren, I want you to stay here and make a thorough search of this apartment.
Right, Sheriff.
With the aid of the sergeant and the St. Louis police, I'm going down to headquarters and take a look through the files. After that, you and I'll head south, visiting tourist camps, trying to pick up the trail of Mr. Sturgis Jones, alias David Drake.
Listening to the case history of an actual crime, one of the most cold-blooded, horrible murders in Oklahoma crime history, and one of the most remarkable examples of careful and painstaking detective work in the history of any state.
From 75 years ago, July 28, 1947, did justice triumph? The conclusion next, on this Thursday, Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox on your favorite station.
Are you suffering with arthritis or osteoporosis? Do you have diabetes? Did you know that these are just two of the hundreds of diseases that have seen improvement with Dr. Wallach's incredible longevity products? You can't get them at a health food store. The only way to get them is to call us at 800-214-0065. That's 800-214-0065. Do you have heart disease, fibromyalgia, or high blood pressure? Do you have a terrible time losing weight? Dr. Wallach can help. He was a veterinarian and cured diseases in animals. He felt that he could do the same for humans, so he became a physician. Over 50 years of research and helping people like you goes into every bottle of Dr. Wallach's amazing discoveries. Do you want to feel better? Learn how to treat the cause of your problem rather than covering up the symptoms with drugs. Call 800-214-0065. That's 800-214-0065.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Friday on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, The Whisperer. Carlton Young stars as the crime fighter in this episode entitled Police in Danger from 71 years ago, July 29, 1951. The Whisperer tries to prevent the syndicate from murdering Lieutenant Denvers. Helen is amazed at The Whisperer's latest invention, a car telephone. That's coming up on Friday's Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. But right now, the conclusion of Did Justice Triumph from 75 years ago, July 28, 1947.
After days of disheartening and discouragement, justice, personified by Sheriff Crawford and Deputy Warren, is beginning to make progress, is edging closer to the killer of Dorothy Maxwell. But who is he? Where is he? The two hard-working police officers have identified the victim. They have identified the man she married through a matrimonial bureau. But they have no evidence that this man killed Dortha Maxwell. Armed with photographs of Dortha and her husband, Crawford and Warren visit five tourist camps with no success. Then at the Good Rest tourist camp south of Kansas City on Route 69, they talk to the owner, a Mr. John Holbrook.
Ever seen these two people before, Mr. Holbrook?
Let me see. Yeah, I believe I have, Sheriff.
But you recall their names?
Just a minute. Let me look at my register here. Yeah. These are photographs of Mr. and Mrs. David Drake. They stopped here on the 18th of June. Hey, is this the woman...
This is the woman you phoned us about, Mr. Holbrook, on the day of the murder.
Well, I'm sorry I wasn't able to be more accurate about the description at the time. We saw so many people in and out. But with these photographs...
Mr. Holbrook, do you by any chance keep a record of the license numbers of your guest cars?
Well, yes, I do. I think it's a good idea. You never
what
know...
What is the license number of Drake's car?
Let me see... D... Drake. Ford Coupe. Ray. Indiana plate.
Indiana?
Yep. I'll write the number down here for you.
Well, this is a new wrinkle, Sheriff.
But one I like, Warren.
And there you are, Sheriff. Anything more I can do?
You've done plenty already, Holbrook. Thanks very much. Now we're on our way to Indiana to check these plates.
We've sure done some traveling on this case, Sheriff.
Yes, Warren, and we may have to do a lot more.
Yes?
You, Mr. Baker?
That's right. Who are you?
We're police officers. We'd like to see your car.
A gray 1941 Ford Coupe.
Well, I'm afraid that isn't possible.
Not possible. Now, listen, Mr. Baker.
Just a minute, Warren. Mr. Baker, you mean your car isn't here?
Well, that's right. I lent it to a friend last month for a trip.
I see. And who is that friend?
Well, if something happened, I may not...
Routine checkup, Mr. Baker. We're from Oklahoma. Checked the license of your car with the Indiana authorities and found you.
Oh.
Afraid we'll have to have the name of your friend.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's his wife who's my friend. My friend's wife, that is.
Well, what's a man's name and address?
Sturgis Jones.
Sturgis Jones, huh? And the address?
Look, officer, I don't know about...
You better know. Unless you want to be arrested for aiding and abetting a crime.
Crime?
Let's have that address.
It's 1220 Park Avenue.
Here in Indianapolis?
Yes, yes. Has there been an accident?
Some people may call it that. We call it murder.
Murder? My car?
A little advice, Mr. Baker.
Yes, sir.
One word about our visit here to your friend or his wife or anyone, and you'll be in plenty of trouble.
Yes, I understand.
Come on, Warren. I'm going to make another visit to 1220 Park Avenue. Mrs. Jones, where's your husband?
I don't know. I tell you, he's away on a trip.
But we've got to know.
Why are you officers questioning me like this? What's Sturgis done?
We don't know yet, for sure.
But one thing we are sure about, he's married another woman.
Married another... I don't believe it.
You will, Mrs. Jones. Is this your husband's picture?
Where did you get that?
From his apartment in St. Louis.
Apartment in St. Louis?
Yeah.
I just can't understand. Yes, that's his picture.
Where did he say he was going in the car he borrowed from Mr. Baker?
On a business trip out west.
Well, what he really used it for was a honeymoon.
Yes, but he wasn't using the name of Jones for that trip. It was David Drake.
You officers seem to know a lot about my husband.
We'll know more if you'll help us.
Why? Why should I help you against my husband?
Because he's married another woman.
And because he's wanted for questioning concerning a murder.
Murder? Who?
The other woman.
Oh... Well, what do you want to know?
First of all, where is he?
I've told you I don't know, and it's the truth. All I know is that he's away on a business trip.
When do you expect him back?
Perhaps today, perhaps tomorrow.
Good. Now, Mrs. Jones, I know you want to see that justice is done, no matter how much you love your husband. Tell us, how did you happen to marry this man?
Well,
we don't want to pester you, Miss Jones, or annoy you, but you must cooperate with him. It's just possible that we'll be able to save you from the fate of that other woman.
What? What was her name?
Dortha Maxwell, from Peoria, Illinois.
So that was it.
What was it?
One day, a month ago, I happened to come into the room when Sturgis was writing a letter. It was addressed to a woman named Dortha. And he had written, "After we are married, we will be very happy." We had an argument. He told me it was just a joke.
Well, Mrs. Jones, how did you happen to marry him?
I was lonely. I didn't like my office work at all. I didn't know what to do, so... I wrote to a matrimonial agency. Got a list of names and descriptions and what the men did and so forth. Well, Sturgis and I started a correspondence. We exchanged photographs and, well, we got married. That's about all.
And he took frequent business trips?
Yes, he did.
And always came back with plenty of money?
Yes. We've been very comfortable.
Mrs. Jones, in the interest of justice, I'm going to ask you a great favor.
Yes, Sheriff.
You have a spare room in the house, a guest room?
Yes. Yes, I have.
I wonder if you'll be good enough, cooperative enough, to permit Deputy Warren and me to stay here until your husband returns.
Yes, Sheriff. You officers can stay here until he gets back. And then I hope you'll take him away.
Each day marked by a telephone call from Sturgis Jones to his wife, Mildred. He is on his way home, and the two police officers wait, patiently wait, for they know now that the trap is set. But Sturgis Jones does not come home. Perhaps he's been forewarned. Perhaps not. Then...
Oh, that's him.
All right, Warren. You on one side of the vestibule, I'll be on the other.
I got my gun ready.
I doubt if you'll need it. I don't think this louse is the kind that uses a gun.
Coming, Sturgis.
Well, hello, darling. It's all so good to get home.
Hello, Sturgis.
Well, why so serious? Not even a smile, but... Mildred, who are these men?
They're police officers.
Police?
Yes, Jones, from Oklahoma.
Remember?
Oklahoma?
We want to talk with you, Jones, or Drake, or whatever your name is.
Talk with me? About what?
About a murder.
In Oklahoma.
On the 18th of June.
At 8 o'clock in the morning.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but let's all go in the living room and sit down.
Frisk him, Warren.
Right, Sheriff.
Oh, no, this is nonsense. You can't...
Don't tell us what we can do and can't do. Put your hands in the air. Hi.
Really, gentlemen, I'll have you sued for false arrest.
Go ahead and sue, Jones. Meanwhile, I'll take charge of this bag.
Oh, here, I don't believe you have any right to...
Quiet.
Well, Warren?
No gun, Sheriff. But look at this. A money belt.
Money belt? Why, Sturgis, you never wore a money belt. Where'd you get that?
Why,
I'll tell you where he got it, Miss Jones. He got it from his other wife, Dorothy Maxwell Jones.
Yes. And when that belt left home in Peoria, it contained $3,000.
Well, I really don't know what you're talking about, but I think I'd better call my lawyer.
Before you do, Jones or Drake, listen to this. Here's a brief resume of your record as supplied by the St. Louis police.
St. Louis?
Yes, we've been to your apartment.
And consulted St. Louis police files. Listen. 1917, arrested as leader of a group of automobile thieves in Los Angeles. 1919, sentenced to federal prison for using mail to defraud. 1937, sentenced to San Quentin prison, grand larceny. Well?
Yes, that's all true.
Sturgis?
But you can't take me for murder. You have no...
We'll let the courts of justice decide that, Jones. But we can take you for bigamy. That's a crime, you know.
Sheriff, while you've been reading a riot act to our friend, I've gone through his bag. Look at this. Casablanca necklace.
Oh, what does that mean?
It means, Mrs. Jones, that your husband is even guilty of robbing the dead. He took that necklace off Dorothy Jones' throat after he killed her.
That's a lie.
And was doubtless bringing it home to you as a present.
Oh, Sturgis.
Mildred, you believe these rotten cops against me? Very well, they'll take me, but before they do...
Look out, drop that lamp! You're a killer at heart, aren't you, Jones?
You all right, Miss Jones?
That lamp, he tried to kill me.
You'll never get a chance like that again.
No.
Jones, you'll be extradited to Oklahoma for trial. From now on, your fate is in the hands of justice.
Extradition papers were signed, and Sturgis Jones was returned to Oklahoma for trial. At this trial, Jones and Drake were identified as the same man by the owner of the tourist camp. The money belt, the Casablanca necklace, all positively identified. Other jewelry found in Jones's possession at the time of his arrest, identified as having belonged to Dorothy Maxwell. Jones was sentenced to death in the electric chair where he paid for his crime on December the 18th, 1943, just 6 months after Dorothy Maxwell's body was found. Thus, Oklahoma justice. And so at police headquarters in Tulsa,
Deputy Warren?
Yes, Sheriff?
Moved Arthur Maxwell's card from the active file.
Yes, sir.
Mark it. Case closed.
Justice did triumph. Of all persons, characters, and places are entirely fictitious, and any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This dramatization was based on an actual murder case. Next week at this time, the Mutual Broadcasting System will present another thrilling dramatization taken from the files of the True Justice series appearing each week in the New York Sunday News and its syndicate. Programs are produced by Jock McGregor. Today's program was directed by Arthur Van Horn. The script was written by Bryce Disk Jr. The narrator was George Carson Putnam. Cameron Prudhomme played the sheriff, Jim Bowles the deputy. Others in the cast were Bryna Rayburn, Joe Latham, Paul Conrad, Sidney Smith, and Humphrey Davis. The orchestra conducted by Emerson Buckley played music written especially for this broadcast by Richard DuPage. Frank McCarthy speaking.
From July 28, 1947, did Justice triumph on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox? Please thank this station and support their advertisers. It's their kindness and courtesy that allows us to be with you each and every time you roll around here on your favorite station. Visit my webpage, classicradio.stream. You can stream any of our 21 hours a week's worth of shows on demand there. You can learn more about building a Classic Radio Theater collection of your own. You can find all of our social media links there. You can contact me directly, and if you like the shows and want to kick in, you can buy me a coffee. We use that money to build our collection even better so that you can hear more great shows. Have yourself a great Thursday. Tell all your friends the great radio shows are right here at this spot on the dial. Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox on your favorite station.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Heaven.